satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 223, Third Try's a Charm. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
We had a couple of false starts there.
Technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties. One made a loose cable, and then I was like, we have a lot of emails, and got distracted by looking and trying to figure out which ones we need to read this week. Oh,
derp.
I'm pretty derp today, honestly.
That's okay.
How are you?
It's Friday. You're allowed to be, you know, derp on Friday.
Yep.
I don't know if that explains the rest of the week.
My sleep schedule's kind of been thrown sideways.
Why?
So my parents' computer got fried by a power surge here a couple weeks ago.
Hmm.
And so we basically had to drop some cash and get him a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to basically babysit my mom's hard drive to get all the photos and project files and stuff off of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, so we had to get all the data off of that. And then
the platters were spinning all wobbly and the computer was just like across the table.
Well, not quite that bad, but the computer did get fried.
Did I ever tell you guys that story, by the way?
No.
No.
So, this is back in Florida. I knew a guy that worked at one branch of a computer repair shop. And they would occasionally fuck with the people at the other branch of the same store when they had to send a computer over there because the other store had parts that they didn't have or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. So, one day, dude disassembled a hard drive and took some kind of cutting implement and he cut out big irregular chunks in the drive plates.
Oh, God.
And then put it back together and put it in there. And told the guy at the other store, I can't figure out what's wrong with this machine, man, so I'm going to send it over to you. He's like, okay, yeah, sure. Turned it on, and apparently it did just that. It goes, grrr, it vibrates across the counter.
Oh, man.
It's like, that was a great prank. Yeah. Apparently it's a dead machine anyway, so it didn't kill any data. But
yeah, but it's just been one of those weeks. I've been back and forth to Fort Worth a couple times.
Yeah, which is kind of a long haul. It's not like a quick jaunt over to Fort Worth.
It's 50 miles.
Yeah.
From our place. And even further if I go and meet Panther for lunch beforehand.
Mm.
Driving from Frisco to Fort Worth.
Oh, God, yeah. It's just like going from one corner to the other.
Almost. Pretty much.
Mm. That'd be a haul.
It's some things you gotta do for family.
Yep. Gotta do what you gotta do.
Other than that, I've gone and finished up a major audiobook project this week. Need to submit it for review and all sorts of excitement. In addition to playing Eve, spreadsheets in space. Space macroeconomics. Yeah.
To be fair, that is kind of neat that they can do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it. A friend of mine gave me a trial and I decided to upgrade, so I'm out flying a mining frigate and training up towards doing the industrial side of things. Building spaceships for dicks with guns in space.
Dicks for guns?
Dicks with guns.
Oh, you mean spaceships?
Yes. Okay. Building it for the pilots. Getting my manufacturing and all that up so I can just mass manufacture frigates. Other than that, it's been an uneventful week. How about you, Fuzz?
So I got a cold this week, and that sounds like, oh, just ordinary, everyday thing, right? But that was a Tuesday. This is a really bad one, though, because it stuffed me up so completely that I could not effectively use my CPAP.
Ooh.
Yeah. Actually, it was last Tuesday. That's why I wasn't on the show on Friday, because I was still sick and I didn't want to infect you guys. Mm-hmm. And basically, I'm at the point where, like, my body is just getting rid of the last of the congestion and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm fine now.
Yeah.
So, all beginning of this week at work, I felt like I did 2 or 3 years ago before I got my CPAP.
Mm.
Just no energy whatsoever.
Butt dragging?
butt-dragging like you couldn't believe, like sitting in a meeting right next to my boss, fighting to keep my eyes open. It is so hard to describe it to people that haven't felt it. Like, it's not just being a little tired at the end of a long day. It's a level of exhaustion that is indescribable.
And you don't realize it's quite built up until it's gone and you feel...
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things I was kind of getting to and kind of trailed off on was I had to babysit that drive, but it was so important that I was up stupid late.
Yeah.
That is to say, stupid early.
Whoa.
So I dozed off in that chair you're sleeping there for about an hour and a half. Wow. And when I woke up, I felt like poo.
Yeah.
I didn't want to wake Panther up because, you know, he has his real job.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to wake him up, so I dozed off in the chair, and I've regretted it the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I did lay down and use my CPAP again, but just, ugh.
I can't nap. If I nap, if I do less than 3 hours, I feel like shit.
Well, I got 5 hours in bed with my CPAP, so I didn't feel too awful, but it was one of those, I don't like that feeling, and it's like a revisiting of something. I was like, no, I like my CPAP.
Yeah, it was not... And it took me a couple of days to realize that that's what was going on. I just thought, like, I feel tired because the cold's kicking my ass because I'm taking NyQuil and I'm taking DayQuil and I'm, you know, it's just all this medicine and congestion and stuff. And then I realized what it really was I was like, oh, I feel like I did before I had my sleep study. And so this week is at least the beginning of it kind of sucked for me. Yesterday was the first day I actually felt human again.
Yeah.
And enough of the congestion must have cleared by Wednesday night that it was getting to me again. And Tyrion was even saying I was snoring again.
Hmm.
Like, you know, like as bad as I was before I got the machine. So it was a pretty rough week. So now with the CPAP, getting a cold is a kind of a bigger deal because I fixed that aspect of my life. So now it's not just being a bit stuffy and feeling a bit shitty. It's fucking up my sleep schedule. So it's really not pleasant. I'm feeling better now, though, so yay. But that's really just been my week. Like, I canceled hanging out with people on Tuesday. Last weekend, Tyrion and I got Tyrion sick, too.
Oh.
So last weekend, Tyrion and I didn't leave the house. He canceled y'all's Shadowrun game because he was sick, too, and... Mm-hmm. Didn't want to infect everybody else. Oh, shit. My phone's actually not on mute. I haven't done anything with my phone. This weekend, though, I'm feeling a lot better. And actually, we have a board meeting at my house on Sunday. And I've decided to do a potluck for it. So like an hour before the board meeting. The board member is going to show up and bring some food, and we're going to have some food. And
well, it tends to happen just right at dinner time, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that should be good times.
Mm-hmm.
As exciting as any of our board meetings.
Well, the potluck part will be good times.
Yeah.
The board meeting part will be productive.
Yep.
The rest of the time, though, Tyrion and I are just working a lot on For Planet stuff. We are mostly pounded through layouts. We're going to have about 16 to 18 new titles for Anthrocon this year, so it'll be another big year. What you guys saw earlier, I've got 9 proofs on me so far. So I brought them over to show off. Like, you guys, what do you guys think? We got a pretty good lineup.
I like them.
Yeah, I want to take a look at the Simpikos thing, but I haven't.
Do you want me to pass you that particular porn, sir?
Sure.
Gorgeous cover on that one, too. Yeah. It's
further down.
There it is.
Yep, that's the bright red one. It's like you cannot miss it. That is going to make a very eye-catching poster behind our table at AC.
Yes, indeed. Yes, and it's, you know, it's covered enough that, you know, you can hang that.
Yes. And the other big thing is that we're, and this has been announced on FA Journal already, not mine, but so I've done a soft launch for baddogbooks.com. Like, it's open right now, but it's not officially open. like the grand opening date is actually July 1st, but right now it is up and running. You can go to it, you can browse some books, and you can purchase some ebooks. And, you know, it's sort of like it's a public beta.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know if you discover any issues. I already know that, like, the last theme update for it borked the resizing down to phone level. It looked really crappy, so I'm going to see if I can roll that back or tweak the CSS to fix that. But, so totally baddogbooks.com. The other thing, Kyle Gold announced this on his FA journal just now, that Kyle is going to be releasing his ebook of Divisions on July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And for that first month, it is going to be exclusively available on baddogbooks.com. Mm. So it's not going to be up on Amazon or Nook or any of the other sites. So, you know, his way of kind of helping us out, we're going to try to get our new site off to a good start for Planet's ebook store. And not just stuff we've published, hence how we have Divisions and all of Kyle's ebooks on there, not just the Cupcakes one that we've handled. So I'm really excited about that, you know, and I'm trying to get the word out about it. We need to put together some promotional material to release around Anthrocon and stuff like that. So, God, I've been so busy with For Planet related stuff in the last couple weeks. Like, it's eaten up a lot of time, but, you know, we've made some good progress on it. We got a lot of good stuff coming out. You know, done some editing, done some layout,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of work, but it's really rewarding, mm-hmm. and I'm really looking forward to AC.
Well, it's the big one of the year. As much as I would like Fiesta to be, it's not.
You know, our sales are in the ballpark at Fiesta. Fiesta is a really good selling con for us.
And I finally got the final measurements for the new ballroom for Fiesta. So I've been working on a layout.
Excellent.
So that's in the works, and we should be having that up and running in the next couple days with some information out there.
Sweet. Can't wait to see it. I'm looking forward to our larger dealer's room with more space and less cramped behind the tables. And then, oh my God, like August and September are going to be totally insane. Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned Arizona FurCon on the show, have I?
Yeah.
I mentioned Rain. So, For Planet is guest of honor at Rainforest and Arizona FurCon. They're within 2 weeks of each other. Both of these were complete surprises to us. Mm-hmm. We're really flattered and really honored. And I actually got to put the call out there, like, something with guests of honor is they end up having you do a lot of panels, and they want you to participate in a convention and help add content to the convention. So I'd like to hear back from people that will maybe be at these conventions as to, like, well, what would you like to hear us talk about, us being the For Planet crew? I'm sure there's aspects of publishing and writing, and I'm just curious, like, if there's, like, a particular demand for a certain aspect of that to be discussed, mm-hmm. in, like, the writing track programming or something like that. So I would like to, like, reach out to the attendees and say, what do you want to hear from us? You know, so I'll basically be at the con's disposal those weekends to, you know, try to, you know, if people want to know stuff about For Planet, that's definitely the time to find out, since probably we kind of have a spotlight on us for a weekend.
I imagine it's like how to get published is going to be a big one that you're going to end up talking about.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Write stuff gooder. We'll go into more detail about that. But,
yeah. Write stuff gooder.
Write stuff gooder. Well, like Neil Gaiman says, make good art. Speaking of which, looking forward to meeting him. That'll be next month. We're talking about that at dinner. Yeah. He's on his last U.S. book tour and book signing. He's going to be at the theater downtown, the Majestic.
Oh, right.
Yeah, in June. And, you know, so his new book comes out this month, so I'll be getting that and getting him to sign that. So that'll be pretty cool. That's just sort of a random aside. Sorry.
I was going to say, it's like, where did that come from?
I don't know. I rambled into that. We're talking about writing and making good art and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, I don't know. That is sort of random. It's like, bro, I got a furry chick on my lap.
I thought you were talking about the duck on the other page.
Well, that's a little what the heck, too. But this one right here, it's like,
it's kind of cool, but
no, it's
what the fuck do. But the duck was cute.
The duck is cute. The other one's kind of, well, I will keep that opinion to myself.
Uh-huh. Grumble, 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 grumble.
The rest of this is incredibly hot. I really like Sempikos' stuff.
Yes. He has a very nice style.
I can fap to this.
Yep. So we have a new Sempikos book, a new Scapo book, a new Art Decade book, if you like the burly guys. And we have a new Bara art collection from Atomic Boy X.
Yep.
So we have a new novella by Ciani called All Tied Up in Knots. Knots being the name of an app in Grindr world, style. Like Grindr. Yep. And there's references to a couple of other furry apps. There's one for straight cup. There's one called Hibernite. That's for bears. Knots is gay. And there was another one for just canines. Oh, there's one for the wolves called The Howling.
Of course.
But it's actually a really neat story. It's a novella about a hot fox does a lot of fucking, and he's doing the one night stand single guy kind of thing, and has never really made any friendships as an adult. He's always just interacted with random hookups on Grindr, or Knots. And he's reached a point in his life where he's like, I want a real relationship, or I just want to make actual friends and not fuck them. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cute in a way because he's naive about what adults talk about when they're not just getting their clothes off and getting it on, you know? So it's kind of a neat character study of this particular fox. And there's a lot of hot sex in it, too, so.
And trying to learn how to connect with people with other than with his asshole.
Yeah, or dick.
Yeah.
He tops a couple times, too. But it has a very nice cover, which I think will hopefully bring people in because it's got fox butt on it. So, and you can never get enough fox butt. Or at least I can't. That might be a wolf thing. I don't know.
But. It could be.
So, moving on.
We have quite a few emails this week.
Oh, do we now?
Yep.
We have a lot of catch-up to do, too, I think.
True, indeed. I'm stuck. Oh, God. Beep, boop.
Step on.
So I guess I'll start reading, and then we'll just go one way or the other. You can just...
Because we do that.
You can fight amongst yourselves who wants to read the next one.
We go both ways.
I want to take a nap.
No yawning.
So this one's just sort of a shorty but Adam and Eve thing. Hello again, naughty casters of the ever-tangled knot. Thought I'd write in and share what found alongside the delightfully useful items I purchased at Adam and Eve using your coupon code. I ordered a nicely fitting silicone plug, and for my mystery gift, I received both a fuzzy handcuff and a small pack of tightening gel. I probably won't use the handcuffs, but the gel will most certainly come in handy. Swimming along happily, the Garland Otter. Garland? Fuck, I can't talk tonight.
It's fucking gnarly. Garland!
Have you grown extra limbs? Have you become a jackass?
I'm just pretty derp. So, yeah, that's cool. So, handcuffs. Fuzzy handcuffs, yay!
I need to stop yawning. I don't know why I'm yawning, but I am.
Yep, we're all keeping your wheel.
Full tummy.
Yeah. So, Fuzz, get an email.
All right. Okay, which one did you read? Oh, the Garland Otter, right?
Yeah, it's the one up top.
Working 9 to 5.
Do-do-do-do-do.
And I won't go any further than that.
That's cool. Because
it's probably copyrighted, and I don't know the lyrics.
Neither do I.
Okay, dear... That's the subject line, by the way. I didn't just randomly break out into song. Dear Knotcasters, I am no longer a student. I started up a heroin addiction, and I dropped out of class. No.
Okay. No.
All right. A couple of days ago, I got my final grades from my university thesis, thus meaning I have completed my undergraduate degree in zoology. That now means I am on the job market, getting ready to embark upon the official task of, quote, being an adult, unquote. I would like to think that, that there is some to be had, that there is some to be had working a job, though, and as such. I think a word's missing there. I was wondering if you could perhaps regale myself and the other listeners with a funny story or two from your working lives, just to put my mind at ease and give everyone a reason to chuckle. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo, Scotland. Okay, so an anecdote or two about your working lives. Soured, go.
The last job that I held was working as a dog washer.
The dog.
That was unpleasant.
Yeah.
Dealing with dogs sucks.
Foxes are so popular. They couldn't keep their paws off you.
No, they couldn't.
That would be the problem.
So, that's not amusing. Just don't ever go work at Petco as a
washer. Really? I find it amusing.
You find it amusing. I didn't.
Yeah, well, amusing.
Oh, the lipstick showing again. Speaking of knots, you make sure that's good and polished.
No.
My, every inch of my dog should be clean and groomed.
Move on.
I have to moose the sheath fur.
And style it.
And style it. No. Yeah.
So you
Jerry curl that sheath fur.
You said you answered Pepper already?
Going to.
Okay.
God!
I need to be like, yes, I will totally listen to your CD. And we will totally talk about it and play that song that you sent us. But we might want to save that song that he sent until we listen to the CD, because it's kind of topical to that.
Let's see. We've got a short one really quick from Estes, just basically linking a lookalike for the doctor who works in a grocery store in Edmonton. We can put that link in the show notes.
Yep.
And let's see. From Pyro, we've got Fuzz and Saverns. You guys misspoke a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Jason Collins is the NBA player who came out. I don't think he actually played on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Kevin Durant is a basketball player who donated $1 million to help people victimized by the tornado. Just so you know. So you guys got...
So Saverin got it wrong, and I just nodded and said sure like an idiot because I didn't know any better.
Okay.
Because I'm like, it's sports. I don't know what to do.
All right, so...
Okay, so... It, the picture for the dude, he kind of looks like Matt Smith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I can too.
A little bit.
So that
younger.
That basically crossed three off the list.
You're being too efficient, Shiva. Watch
Sorry.
Out.
Sorry. You can take another one.
So.
We have a finite amount.
Yep. Well, let's see. Insert cool subject here. Hey, y'all, it's Cartesian the Tiger again, mailing in on vacation from Taiwan, and once again being unable to be on topic because the hotel Wi-Fi blocked FA. On another note, I have to thank Seven for his gay literacy bill. And his gay literacy bill for ability to read and write. Smiley face. Anyways, I have some pretty good news and a couple of questions. Good news, I'm taking my SATs this year and all my APs next year. So I'll be off to America, hopefully on scholarship, and hopefully it's to San Fran in September next year to study synthetic biology. Genetically engineered anthros. Not really. So unfortunately, it'll be at least 2 years before I can get to Furry Fiesta and finally meet you guys. Capital D colon. Now for the questions. I've never been to America, nor do I know anyone from America. I'm trying my best, but I don't really have a presence on FA since my time zone is like 10 to 12 hours away from yours. I'll be moving there alone because my parents are afraid of getting blown up. What?
What?
But money shouldn't be a problem since my money saved on tuition could be used as pocket money. The thing is, I don't know if I should even try even harder to meet people online or if it's okay for me to move there just like that. And if not, I'd like a bit of advice on going about meeting people. With maybe platonic love, your tiger from sunny Malaysia, Cartesian.
Definitely.
Yes, good luck to Seven on the weight loss and trying to do so myself and failing. Taiwan food is great. Wow, so you're going to be coming up to San Francisco.
I think it would definitely be worth, like, looking for local friends so you're not alone in this. It's very different moving countries. It really is, and I say this from experience. Try to make some local connections so you're not just alone.
And, you know, if you're going to be out in the San Francisco Bay region, you know, San Jose does have a lot of furries. San Fran has furries.
FC is out there.
I was going to say, FC is, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to basically, just starting from there, like, they have a con, so there's lots of furries locally. I would say probably hit up, see if there's a NorCal furries board.
I have a few, I think there might be.
I mean, NorCal is big enough that there's going to be some sort of community there that you can probably hook up with. There may be a meetup group. There may be a forum. There may be a group on FA. And you can start talking to people out there and just posting messages and saying, hey, I live in Malaysia. I'm going to be moving over to the to San Fran, NorCal region in the next little bit for school and would love to meet people. You know, that's the way to start. Because you're going to want to know people in that area. The public transit's okay in the area. They have buses, as far as I know. But you it would be helpful to know somebody with a car because you'll need one at some point. So definitely try to meet people because, you know, just coming to US by yourself and not knowing anybody, probably really scary.
Yeah, could be a little bit intimidating.
But really, that's really cool. Synthetic biology.
That sounds really interesting, cool. Yeah.
I hope that you're making cyber limbs so that Shiva can get her extra pair. She must complete the transformation. Yeah, and actually, as for the weight loss, I've got my surgery scheduled July 9th. I'll be going under the knife.
I wish you real luck with that. I hope it goes really well for you.
Well, if it doesn't go well, I'll die, so. Yeah. I'm hoping it goes well, too.
As do I.
It's like, regardless of the outcome, I'll be a lot thinner in the end.
No.
But I'm pumped. Gallows humor.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. This kind of sucks that the hotel blocks Wi-Fi, or blocked FA.
Wi-Fi, yeah.
Yeah, so we only have a little bit of time to be hedonistic fat bastards until I can't anymore.
Yeah.
But I heard of a neat technology that they're talking about on the Wi-Fi front. It's called WISE. It's WISE. And what it is basically someone's created a sensor to take advantage of all the background Wi-Fi that the average user has in their house. It doesn't take much, but what it does is it can track motions of you through the house and complete with gestures. They've got it's wisi.cs.washington.edu. And their demo is that they were showing people just standing there. I mean, no camera, no nothing, just a passive sensor watching the fluctuations in the electromagnetic field in your house, and they were like activating things with gestures. So it's like they're fucking magicians. They just wave their hands, and the stereo speakers, you know, volume came up.
Huh.
And basically, there was a way to they would set up like different receivers in the house, and each one would track a different person, based on, like, body shape and everything else like this. And they were talking about a way to log into it, where basically you do a pattern of gestures, and that would be your password. So it's basically you would cast a spell by waving your hands or whatever and log in to the network. That way people can't just walk in your house and take advantage of it, you know?
You must know the magic craze yourself.
But you know what I mean. And it would be a way to, they showed it like people controlling the stereo volume and changing channels and things like that. And basically making it so that just tracking the motion of your hands or your body or anything else. But it was a lot more, it doesn't involve a camera like the Kinect Mm-hmm. Or, you know, so there's not a worry of, like, facial, you know, stealing your feed or anything else, and suddenly people are watching you in the living room. Mm-hmm. It's just tracking, you know, patterns of movement within the house. And it sounded, it was really interesting. It had, if they can move forward with this technology, it sounds like it's got, you know, and my coworker at work was telling me about that, and I immediately thought, you know, if they really polish this technology, if they pair it with something like dance, or, and they can actually, like imagine a dancer going on the stage, and as they're moving, things are triggering.
That they're coordinating their own lights and stuff.
Yeah, like they would. With their bodies. They track that, and they wave their hands, and certain lights come up, or they hit this part of the stage, and it triggers, you know, a splash of sound or color. That could be really, really fantastic.
Yeah.
Or even things if it, like sports coverage. And the, when they watch a guy move over to here, the cameras automatically switch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this has got some real potential for, you know, just being able to move and track. So, and it's not necessarily needing to generate anything extra. It's just watching the existing. I imagine if you didn't generate enough, you'd have to get something.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this was just using, like, ambient phone noise and things like that.
Hmm.
So, that, but that was on the Wi-Fi tangent, and that was my...
So, like, it's kind of like the Batman thing from The Dark Knight Rises.
Kind
of,
yeah.
Batman Begins.
Yeah. So, that was my one cool thing for the week.
Okay.
We'll have to... yeah.
Tangent! I am useful.
See. I think we're just going to run through this pretty fast this week.
Okay.
So, you read that one, Shiva, right?
Mm.
No, you need to read.
I thought it was his turn.
It's his turn.
Okay, so that's Cartesian. We can archive that.
So, this... did we read this one from about the makeup?
No, I think it arrived
after. No, this one came after the show. Okay.
Yeah, we, as usual, got, like, 2 emails about the topic right after you guys had done recording, or today after, mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
So,
well, you can always save them for Keo for next time.
So,
we should create folders for one for Avery, one for Keo.
I guess I could flag them.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
There's a drag-related one. Cross-dress help. We'll flag that.
I think we got that one.
Oh, did you?
Is it no.
The one, that a different one?
This one is something else. It's a different photo.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a different...
Yeah.
Kind of cute.
Yeah, he is.
But,
okay, the guy, the big guy built, like, a mobile mountainside. I remember y'all reading that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't think we read this one where he's seen the girl... Okay, so yeah, we have that one from... The Anonymous Aardvark.
Okay, all right. Opening a relationship and or discussing relationship status. Dear Notcasters, I am 29, male, and mostly straight. I have been seeing a girl for about 6 weeks now, and we've been sleeping together for about half of that time. By happenstance, it's been an exclusive relationship that entire time. Neither of us dates much or has casual sex often. So our previous relationships with others have also always been exclusive. Therefore, there hasn't yet been an impetus for us to have a talk about our relationship status. In 2 weeks, I'm flying 1,000 miles to visit family and friends. Last time I did that, one of my friends sort of propositioned me. I didn't take him up on it at the time or even discuss it hardly at all because we were on psychedelics. And it's a bad idea to sleep with one of your best friends while you're both half out of your mind. I didn't get a chance to talk with him in private while sober before I had to return home, and since I didn't want to discuss it over, I didn't want to discuss it over text message. I feel like my relationship with this girl I've been dating is far enough along that I need to talk with her about it if I'm going to consider sleeping with him. I have no idea how to even approach this conversation. I'd like to explore my bisexuality and be closer and more intimate with my friend. I trust him, so I feel more comfortable exploring. My other sexual experience with a guy was my first time, and I was quite drunk. I don't know what either he or I are comfortable with, or even if his offer still stands. Both he and his wife are bi, and I'm good friends with them both. How do I talk with her about this? How do I talk with him about this? How do I talk with his wife about this? Thank you, an anonymous aardvark.
Aww.
How the baby steps. That's always an interesting. I wonder about this, and I've done it differently each time. Sometimes it's the person that I'm interested in. It's like, hey, is this like something serious? Do I need to talk to your partner? Or are you just like blowing smoke? And sometimes they've been blowing smoke. And I've had others where, like with Siam, it's like, you know, I think XYZ might actually want to play. Are you cool? Should I ask? You know, that kind of thing. I mean, there's been different starting points with each. As far as asking if the dude's wife is okay, it depends on what kind of. I'd first find out from him if it stands. And
two, I think that's up to him, yeah. The other guy, to have the discussion with the wife as to whether their relationship is open.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's definitely one of those things that I think you're going to need to talk to him, the dude. You know, you might want to inform the chick you've been seeing, maybe. But it's also going to be kind of a deal break, you know, a thing that the wife will need to approve it too. You know, because you'll need to talk to him, but he'll probably need to talk to his wife.
Well, here's the thing, and it's been a couple times with some of my playmates where dude has not, or a check in some cases, were just not completely on the up and up with their partner, so I'd made it kind of my. I like to kind of see that they're okay with it too, and it might make it potentially uncomfortable for them, but I don't want to be a part of someone cheating, either willful ignorance or lack of communication. I hate cheating, and that might be weird, but
I hate cheating, but I know more than one couple that has had a, we're open, you need to have your sexual needs met. I don't want to know about it. I don't know who it's with. I don't want to know when it happens.
Yeah.
And in that case, you need to not take it upon yourself to talk to their partner about that, or you will cause a fight.
Because they don't want to know.
My point of view is that I'm going to make sure that my relationship is okay on my end. You, person I may be fucking, it is your responsibility to make sure that your relationship is okay on your end. And while I don't want to be the cause of cheating or the other man or something, as long as I talk to the person and they assure me that they're in an open relationship and it's all cool, then I'm fine with that. But I would not take it upon myself to. Because that's kind of interfering in their relationship dynamic, I feel.
It is, and it's basically, if the person I'm going to fool around with isn't honest with me and they're doing stuff on the down low, I don't want to be involved at all. It's one thing if it's the agreement where they don't want to, it's okay so long as they don't hear, see, or know who it is. That's one thing, and I wouldn't interfere in that case. I'd be kind of uncomfortable with that because there'd be in the back of my mind wondering, but I wouldn't approach in that case. But if they're okay with knowing and, you know, that kind of thing, it's just, if the person I'm fooling around with isn't honest, I don't want to be fooling around with them. It's not that I would worry about their relationship. It's like, I don't want to get myself in bed with that kind of person.
But you need to know that before you decide whether you're going to fool around with them or not.
Plus, I mean, that could also, if you...
But that's kind of part of the whole figuring that out before you get that far. It could open you up
to a whole host of issues. You know, if you do accidentally become the other person.
Yeah, I don't want to...
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, how do you work that out, though? I mean, you don't take it upon yourself to go talk to their spouse.
No.
On it.
You just don't involve yourself in the beginning.
In their relationship.
Yeah. It's one of those things that if they're doing it, they don't want to talk to their partner, you probably shouldn't tap that.
You know, and if they're not going to be, if they're they're going to lie about you about being open, and you assume they're okay, and you sleep with them. Or they're going to tell you, they're not going to be honest about not having an open relationship. Mm-hmm. You know? You really have no way of... there's no decision you're basing that on, you know?
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. You don't have a way of... Okay.
Okay, let me set up the situation I was in, okay?
Okay.
I was fooling around with this dude. We were flirting really closely.
Uh-huh.
We basically, you know, it's like, yeah, it's fine. She knows. It's okay. It's like, okay, that's fine. And uh-huh. I went on about this, and we went on, and we had fun. And so I didn't talk to her about it. It was okay. And then later on down the road, when we'd been fooling around off and on for about 6 months, I found out that no, he had not been okay with her. He had not let her know at all, except that, you know, she thought that maybe hands were wandering. She didn't know that we had been doing anything more than that. Mm. So here I am, 6 months into screwing around with her husband, and all this time I had been... He had been lying to me. He had been lying to her. I didn't know because I kept it on the down low. 2 seconds asking if she was okay with this would have nixed this in a bud, and I would have never have touched him. So, no, it's not fucking okay for me to just turn my blind eye and make sure that I take his word for it. It is not okay because it made me part of a cheating, even if it was me being freaking... willing to believe him, I was still part of him breaking his marriage and breaking his vows to someone I really cared about. And all it had to do was 2 seconds of saying, hey, is this cool? And if she said no, and it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I could have avoided hurting both of them very, very much. Him by being a dick and not being enough to pony up to his wife and ask if it was okay because she was afraid that she'd say no. And me for hurting her by basically fucking around with her husband without her permission. So, yes, it is a matter of me getting involved because I'm ruined friendships on all sides there. So, no, it's, you know, it's cool that they have their own discussion. But I need to have a discussion, too, because I don't want to be a freaking marriage breaker. Again.
First, okay.
Okay, wow. First of all,
chill out. Because this was a theoretical discussion, and you made it personal, and did not need to get that upset about it.
It's something I feel very strongly about.
Yeah, but okay. Obviously I was not directing this at you in a personal manner. So, there's no need to get all upset about this.
Yeah.
Two, I don't see you at fault in that situation.
I didn't say I was, but that
but
didn't
you're,
make...
But you're saying I broke up a marriage. Your vocalisms in that are implying that you feel a level of responsibility.
I do. I do feel somewhat responsible. Yes, most of it's on him, but I could have taken an action myself. I could have. Maybe it wasn't my responsibility, but I had, you know, a little going, you know, I should probably ask about this. No, it's fine. He wouldn't. No, maybe I should. No, it's fine. It's really okay. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a level of personal responsibility when you're doing things like that, when it's risky for many parties. There's a level of trust that you have, but you also have to sometimes trust your instincts when they ping that maybe not's all what it seems to be.
Okay, so that's what you didn't mention before.
Well, I have
you explained this whole story. If you had doubts, that's a different story.
The thing is I do and I don't every time I go. I do every time I go into any poly relationship or any open relationship or fooling around if there's another partner involved because I'm paranoid about, you know, causing an issue like that. And this time, even with my care, I still do it. And that's why it's my personal, you know, philosophy, and it's, you know, not maybe everybody's, but I've had the don't ask, don't tell kind of partners
mm-hmm.
where the other person is outright, you know, the third party, the spouse on or partner I'm not playing with, where they said, I don't want to know about it. You know, I've heard them actually voice say, yeah, I know she fools around. I don't want to know who. I've at least heard them evince that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't know, don't care, don't want to hear it, let them play around. You know, so long as I get kind of that noises coming out of the person, okay. Yeah, okay, I'll respect that. But when it's set up with the other person is like in the know, mm-hmm. and they're fine with who their partners, they have some amount of veto or whatever going on, that it's, you know, fine for me to approach them and go, hey, is this cool? At some point or another, to help put my mind at ease. You know, there's not just them involved here. It's also me and my own personal morals of thou shalt not cheat or help enable somebody to cheat. I just don't think it's too easy when going into open and to poly that if there's not communications with many parties, that you are going to be the other person. And I think you've got a responsibility to at least do what you can to prevent yourself from being that person.
I think since you have that point of view on it, the best thing for you to do might be to not play with anybody who doesn't want you to discuss it with their partner.
And that's one of the things that's how I select my partners. That's very much.
Don't touch those situations where they're like, they're don't ask, don't tell, I guess.
And that's one of the things that I cut out when I go and consider somebody is, you know, am I going to have to basically be super sneaky? I mean, I'm okay when I have to be, you know, subtle and, you know, not super.
Yeah, you don't shout it to the world and tweet about it on your After Dark account or anything like that.
But it's when I have to kind of be sneaky and completely behind the back and, oh, don't let X catch it. I mean, they don't want to know they're okay, but they don't want to know who or when or why.
Yeah.
Then that makes me really uncomfortable and I stay away from that. But when I was in the situation that really upset me, it was basically, you know, I'd mention, you know, hey, I'd want to. It was really weird. He had a good way of diffusing it where he would just somehow work away a subject change away from it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't super. It wasn't, no, don't talk to X. I might, you know. You know, she'd be really upset. It was a really subtle, like, work away from the subject. So it wasn't super blatant.
Right.
And she knew that we had done some wandering hands and, you know, fondling and things like that. But she knew that we were goofing off. She didn't know how far it had gone. So.
See, I wonder about her mindset in that case, too. Because it was like if cheating was going to be a major argument breakup situation, I would have snapped my man's hand when there was.
Well, she was okay with like hands wandering and like fingers. Not when you start getting into like blowjobs and such, it started going a little bit more. But no full contact sex.
Yeah.
But she was fine with hand jobs and things like that.
Okay, yeah.
There's just degrees of, and I've run into this many times in the open and poly communities, that there's degrees in comfort in what you're okay with your partner doing with others. They see a blowjob or a handjob as no big deal, but all-out sex is something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you start having male-female combinations and you start maybe throwing in the possibility of pregnancy.
Yeah, it's always
so, so there is that, you know, it's not such a big deal in the gay or the lesbian pairings because there's no chance of a kid. There's disease, and just as there is in a hetero playing around, but you add in babies when you start doing the hetero mixing.
Which be safe regardless of the the combination, and we'll definitely cover you there.
So there's also something in, at least in female mindset, where sex is a little bit more intimate than giving a guy a blowjob. You know, I mean, for me, sex is I think it has to do partially because of my Dom personality. And one of my big things is like, and I've said it many times before, is orgasm control. So I get off on getting other people off, as in controlling when, where, how, whatever. My own needs, I might get hot and bothered, but I'm not super huge into getting my itches scratched. I'm fine with, I can play with somebody, get them off, mm-hmm. and I'll go home and take care of other things, either with my partners or somebody else or later. But when I'm doing that, it's more of a headspace thing for me. So I can play with somebody that way. And it's more intimate for me when I start having full sex, because that tends to be more, I start getting wrapped up, you start involving my own pleasure and my own interaction with that. And mm-hmm. it's a little bit more of a vulnerable and intimate relationship for me than when I wouldn't call it topping, but you know, doing.
It removes some of the level of control that you have. Yeah,
exactly. And when that starts happening, it starts getting a little bit more intimate, more. You start getting out of the dominant space and start getting into the more interaction space. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a couple other girls that are like that. They get off on, you know, playing with someone, and they might, you know, take being played with, but it's no big deal to then, you know, button up your pants and go on your way. But you start getting into where people connect on a sexual level versus, you know, playing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it comes, where some partners are okay with you sharing some things and not okay if you go do the full Monty.
Right. This is why, like, I guess I separate sex and that kind of emotion a lot in my head. Like, I really am not cool with the emotional infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is why I don't consider myself poly. I just consider myself an open relationship. So I'll go the whole nine yards with somebody, and it won't really affect me emotionally other than friendship. Because I have to like the person. I have to be friends with them. You know, I can't.
Or else it doesn't do nothing.
I can't hate fuck somebody.
I can't indifferent fuck somebody.
Right. I was going to say, it's like most people don't hate or indifferent fuck people.
There's usually, they're really sexy, well, or you like them.
Actually, yeah. I mean, I would say there's a lot of indifferent fuck people. That's what one night stands are. That's really just based on, oh, you're hot in a way that appeals to me physically.
You like people who are interesting, you know, and friendship.
Let's combine our genitals in new and exciting ways.
But you don't want to sit and have coffee afterwards and discuss War and Peace. You know?
Right, yeah. Like some of the hottest sexual experiences I've had have been situations where I've talked to somebody for like 2 or 3 hours beforehand, and you kind of feel like you've gotten to know them and you have some kind of connection. And yeah, sure, I don't know like their whole life story and everything like that, but it's not a nice shoes want to fuck, mm-hmm. drag you into bathroom kind of situation. Yeah, you know?
I see most of the people I have sex with, I would just as rather fuck their brains out as I would go and have coffee with them and sit and bullshit about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much I like being around you, and I like just as much chalking you to you as doing the horizontal mambo.
Right.
There's various degrees of that. I have to like someone before I even feel attracted to them.
Yeah. And then if someone has like I think we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and someone has a really shitty personality, it doesn't matter how hot their body is.
Yes.
Because you're just like, you know, I just don't want to talk to you anymore. Go away.
A bag doesn't help. Your mouth is still running.
I'll just jerk off. I'm fine. I don't want to hear your voice.
I just don't understand the people who go to a bar, pick up someone, fuck them. And, you know, once they're done, they pull up their pants and they never see him again. I just don't work that way. And maybe if I was more desperate, I might understand it better, but I don't.
I can understand it. It's just, it's not the way that I've acted mm-hmm. in my life. Because, I mean, I can understand it from a that's hot a story kind of mm-hmm. way, you know. But that's what porn is. I mean, the porn to fantasy is always going to be, well, 99% of the time is going to be hotter than the reality.
Yeah, you don't have the we got to their place and I was so nervous I couldn't get it up. Some type porn stories.
Right, yeah. And everyone is always, you know, super hot and are always wearing the sexy underwear, not the holy pair, because that was the last pair that I had that wasn't an old Panther or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, it's just, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like porn is the ultimate fantasy. And it's like, but I wouldn't, and I could write a hot story about somebody going and picking up a random guy in a bar and fucking the shit out of him, and I could enjoy writing that. But it's not something I would actually do in real life, because it's just, it's not something that I really find appealing to do in real life.
I mean, when it comes down to, you're just kind of exercising biological needs there, and I can jerk off and take care of that.
Right. I would rather read the story about it and jerk off.
Yeah.
But for more interesting scenarios where I'm exercising my kink, and in particular that, because in order to have gotten to the point where we know that we like the same thing, mm-hmm. I would have had to have talked to them.
Yes.
You know, and probably extensively to establish boundaries and the likes and the dislikes and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. that is further along, and it's a more personal enough connection that I actually want to interact with them in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. So porn is porn and real life is real life, and not everything in story is sexy in person. Yeah.
So we're kind of disagreeing wishy-washy about the informing the wife. I think first thing, he should talk to his girlfriend before even talking to the guy.
Yeah.
Or maybe he should talk to the guy to see,
is this even something I need to bring it up?
Because there's no point rocking the boat with the girlfriend if there's nothing, no interest at all on the guy's side. So that might be one way to go.
So you can go either way. You can talk to the girl to see if this is something that you got, where this is, and are you free to pursue things? Or if you don't want to rock that boat, you have a quiet talk with him. Find out if there's anything there. And if there is, well, then you debate if you want to rock the boat.
The other thing I'm concerned about is that I don't feel we know enough about the girl to really give good advice on, because
also only been 6 weeks.
It's been 6 weeks, and it's like, what is her personality like? Is she fairly liberal sexually? Do you think she would be open to the idea of an open relationship?
Well, I mean, even at 6 weeks, you're not, I mean, are you even in a relationship at that point?
Well, I think they're in a relationship. They may just be dating. I mean, they may not have said they're exclusive, but that's a conversation you kind of want to have. Are we exclusive or not? Because sometimes you'll have one person thinking
one thing.
We were exclusive this whole time, and it broke my heart when you fucked somebody else. And then the other person is like, no, we're just dating around. It's casual, you know?
Do whatever you want.
Both approaches are valid, but you got to make sure you're on the same page as the other person. Or else
there's a lot of heartbreak.
Yeah. And I might couch it like that, you know? And, hey, are we exclusive or not? And that might be a good point to see, do we want to progress to, like, a next phase of our relationship of actually saying, oh, we're exclusive, we're boyfriend and girlfriend now. This is a real relationship, not just someone I'm maybe seeing, you know? So, I mean, I would almost use this as an opportunity to more solidify your relationship with the girl that you're seeing.
Yeah.
And not really look upon it as an opportunity to fool around with the guy. Now, and the other thing is are you out to her as being bisexual?
Yeah, that might be a bit of a surprise.
If you came out, how did she take it? If you're not out, well, that's a whole different conversation that mm-hmm. you need to have before you even step into the I want to screw somebody kind of level. So there's some info that we don't have there, so I'm not real comfortable saying, here's a 10-step plan, follow this exactly, and you'll be fine. Which I never feel that comfortable anyway, but so kind of take a lot of the points we've raised and mishmash it and write a follow up if you want and fill us in on where things are at.
Y'all both went at it for a while, and let's
it's average, just like I'm going to play my video game or whatever you're doing on there.
Looking at stuff and
let them find it out.
You're going on. I mean, what I would do is verify that the dude was indeed propositioning you.
Mm-hmm.
If yes, talk to the chick. If no, you're a silly filly and you're not getting laid. If yes, and then she says yes, you get him to talk to his wife. because communication is important. Mm-hmm. If she says no, you're not getting laid. So if he if he says yes, and the like chick you're seeing says yes, and if his wife says yes,
I'm thinking you're getting laid. I'm thinking of a logic diagram for my algorithm design class.
If there is a no somewhere in there, you default to you're not getting laid.
If 10, go to anal.
No, wait, no. 10? That's way too young.
Oh. No, I was not going there. Jesus.
So, there. I flowcharted that shit for you.
Relationship math.
Okay, we're just gonna... Come on. We're just gonna leave it to Savard next time.
So... Let's see. Goodness.
Oh, goodness gracious. So, yeah, it'd be... Well, one of y'all's turn to read next.
I'll read this next one, because I think we have, like, one more email left after this. Let's see, we have a con report.
Okay.
From Furlandia.
Oh, good.
Which, so that's from Kara. We can read that next. There's an anonymous one. There's a toy question for Avery, which we'll flag.
All
right. And so there's three emails left.
He's
going
to need to come back every couple of weeks for toy questions.
At this point.
Well, you know, he's willing to do it, so it's all good. So
there's one more round of us, and then we'll do something from Adam and Eve, and it'll be good.
Yay.
Okay.
Just be concise this week. Though I think this little repartee has extended the week a little bit. So
sorry, I'm going to read these. It's a really strong point for me.
It's one of those things, and I just want to address that. Like, I'm not, like, arguing or disagreeing with you strongly, like really get pissed about it. But when we have those kind of things where we clearly have a disagreement of point of view, I actually think the conversation is very interesting. What I'm saying is, no offense meant. I really thought the conversation was interesting as to how we arrived.
It's like you hit one of Shiva's touchstones. Shiva does not like cheating at all.
And I was just like, I'm going to look at Reddit.
Well, it's partially because Polly and Open get such a shitstorm about cheaters. You know, it's like dude goes out, the whole classic thing of I was having an open relationship and mm-hmm. tells girl X of, yeah, we're open. No. And it's one of those tropes that happen in both the open and the poly communities. And it's because it is a huge problem.
Yeah, that's why I emphasize communication mm-hmm. so much, because it's like... It can open up a lot of problems, but I think it reduces more problems than like a totally closed relationship does, because you don't have
the stagnant.
You don't have the longing to experience some of your other aspects of your sexuality that maybe you can't or don't do with your current partner. You know, you don't have the jealousy or anything like that, and then when somebody finally folds and does it, you don't have to deal with the bitter arguing about it. You know,
like when I was with Siam and Akisha was when we became basically known as polyfidelity, which is, yeah, there's more than two, but it's still close. We didn't play around,
right?
And Akisha was more along the lines of a very traditional person. Mm-hmm. He kind of thought Siam was his exclusion to the rule.
Right.
And I always, so when I was with both of them, I always understood of no, they Akisha wouldn't be okay with me with a third dude. But I always wondered what would happen if I ever met a female I wanted to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, would they... I never knew if he would put a nix on it or if he would have to join in or what his rules would be. It just never came up while we were together.
He could just watch creepily from the corner.
Well, I was wondering if it would be that or he'd have to participate or if he'd be okay with me going off and experiencing this. And after we parted ways and me and Siam open things up again, because our default setting has always been open.
Right.
I mean, Siam's dated and looked for other people. So I was actually kind of looking around for a female partner when I found Sarah, who I see Lee has a vagina, but it's not the same thing in real life. but no,
he's close enough.
So I had actually been looking around for, you know, keeping an eye open for a female partner, and again, had no luck. Instead, I found Sarah, much to Siam's chagrin. It's like, why can't you bring me back a woman?
Someone I could watch you fucking.
Well, or at least somebody that both of us could play with, because Siam is very, very straight.
Mm-hmm.
So
see, that's his problem, man.
I know. That would be so much easier if he was bi, but no. But no, he's straight. And that's me actually having other partners who are male kind of awkward. Because not really interested in taking part in that at all. So it's, there's not a real way to cement things.
Yeah, so the threesomes are kind of few and far between because of that.
Yeah. So it was a matter of, I'm still half keeping an eye out for a female playmate, but at this point I feel like I've also hit my, I have enough relationship in my life with the two that I have. The third one would have to be like, it'd be like a cookie. It'd be a sometimes food.
Vagina. It's a sometimes food.
So, I mean, so I'm half keeping an eye out, but it's like, I at least know now that if I find someone I want to play with, both of my current partners, both Siam and Sarah, would actively encourage me to go pursue it. I wouldn't have to sit there and wonder, oh my God, you know, is this going to be a deal breaker or do I have to? What if I finally find someone who I'd like to play with, and then my partner nixes it? Mm. So it's really nice knowing that all parties are okay with me wandering, and I'm not going to have to wonder, oh, shit, are they going to veto ex-female?
Yeah. Mm.
So.
Okay, so let's get to the next few emails.
Oh, if we must.
Yes, we must.
Oh.
Who read that last one?
Me. I thought you.
So, Fuzz read it. She have a reading email.
Okay.
There's three left.
Episode 22? I'm not sure if mine's
okay,
syncing
so
right.
There's one from, that was dystopian future novel, one from Kara, and one from an anonymous titled Help. These are back from in May.
Okay.
30th and May 29th.
I'll just do the dystopian. Let's see. Dystopian future novel. Last episode, Saverin mentioned a dystopian future novel in which overpopulation had led to government promotion of homosexuality and all reproduction taking place through cloning. I think he may be referencing The Forever War by Joe Halderman. It was a military sci-fi written during the Vietnam War that was more or less a cautionary tale on the military-industrial complex and the difficulties of military veterans readjusting to civilian life. It followed a single soldier who managed to survive 3,000 years of war by being sent off hundreds of light-year journeys where relatively would stop him from aging. It was a really great piece, and the homosexuality bit was more than a main theme. It didn't come off as particularly anti-gay to me. Halderman included a lot of speculation about where humanity might go and what troubles it would face. Ah! I was trying to make it through that without sneezing.
Ah.
Halderman included a lot of speculation about where humanity might go and what troubles it would face. No need to read this on air if you don't think it's relevant. We always think
too late.
Books are relevant.
Yeah.
So
that's true, we do.
So we are edumacated.
Yay.
It sounds neat. I mean, that sounds kind of... Okay.
I don't think that was the one in question, but it
sounds interesting.
On that vein, so that's cool.
Mm.
And you can probably find it fairly inexpensively if it's still in print. So, I'll move on to the next one. Connor Port toy question and clothing questions.
This one, we got one that's flagged that they had actually touched on. I'm going to archive it.
Which
one? Cross-dress help. We did that one.
Yeah. But the one, this one right here, it's please keep me anonymous, help.
Yeah.
Is the next one.
I need somebody. Help.
So, this one's a bit of a wall of text, so I'm going to get to reading it.
Okay.
This one's?
No.
Oh, okay.
Wait, let me see. Yes, that's the one that we need to read next after I finish reading this one.
Okay.
Dear Notcasters, a Pacific Northwest snow leopard here with a three-part email. The first part is a convention report, so there's no questions to ask there. Sorry if that's a bad tad long. I'll try my best to keep it easily readable. In a word, Ferlandia was bad. Now, I had fun, but that was mainly due to being with lots of friends in an unfamiliar but exciting city with dozens of streetcar restaurants, many of which stayed open late. But that's Portland, not the convention. The first warning signs that the convention might be bad came weeks before the convention itself. One of the convention staff was complaining on Twitter that she wasn't able to do her work for the convention because none of the other staff were helping her and were too busy posing in front of cameras. This is also when I learned that the con was set up in less than half a year. Whoops. I went anyways, knowing I'd have fun with friends anyway. On Friday, registration should have been open at 6 p.m., but didn't. This
6 p.m.?
One wasn't the con's fault. The doctor convention thing beforehand had kept the room an hour or so past the allotted time, and so as 6 rolled around, the doctors had only started clearing out the room. So 8 p.m. registration, there was only one line with one computer doing registrations at a time, so the 45-minute line con 2013 began. 45 minutes? That's not
too bad for Red Brian.
Well, depends on the scale. I mean, I've waited in line at Akon for 2 hours before, but that's Akon.
Yeah, and that's 20,000 people versus...
Wow, only 2 hours. That's actually pretty efficient, because I've seen the length of that line.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Well, they have, 8 or 10 people processing at a given time.
Yeah.
Plus the pre-reg pickup line. It's crazy. During the line adventure, everyone noticed the staff were going up and down the line with a camera after camera and understood what had been said those few weeks earlier. The next day had lots of problems ranging from only 2 people in the artist alley being segregated from the dealer's den to the volunteer moved them around to staffers begging people to buy ice cream social tickets because they spent $900 on specialty gelato. The first week parade had the line of people descending a few flights of stairs, walking across the street through a construction zone, then a few hundred yards to a photo op area in all 85-plus degree weather, and all ages dance competition being emceed by staffers throwing lewd jokes back and forth the whole time, pretty much choosing the winner based on how sexy the dance was.
All right, first, you earned this fucking $5.
And we all soon found out that one of the reasons for all the cameras was because MTV's True Life, I'm a Furry, was following one of the more ridiculously infamous congoers. Did they not inform you of this beforehand?
So I've heard varying reports on this, but I guess read the rest
of
the
con report. I'm going to keep
reading. Yeah.
On Sunday, I went to the hotel once for 20 minutes to check the dealer's room, and the entire hotel was a dead zone. The only furries anywhere near the panel were panel leaders with their 1 to 3 attendees each and their smattering of people in the dealer's room. Despite this obvious visual cue of no one being in the con and many leaving early on Sunday morning, the con held are claiming it to be a great success somehow. The convention was riddled with dozens of planning issues and many of the staff letting their egos run away with themselves. Unless the majority of the staff changes or suddenly grow up, I will not be attending Ferlandia 2014.
Mm. So what I'd heard their official explanation about the MTV True Life thing is that MTV is following the con organizers beyond just the convention about their lives as furries, and they specifically wanted to film what goes into planning a furry convention, but they weren't supposed to be filming. Like, they would do, a crowd shot, but they weren't actually following the attendees. So they apparently didn't... I don't think... they said that there was a signage at registration and that people could opt out if they wanted to. But it seemed like there was... That was their official line, was that it was posted, people were informed. Given what some of the attendees were saying, though, it sounds like there was a bit of confusion about that.
Okay, well, this is where my revelation that I don't spend a lot of time paying a lot of attention to furry and furry drama in general, so this is all kind of news to me.
So I've got my own attention to furry drama. I was trying to pay attention to convention happenings, and this was one in particular that I just saw a lot of negativity about, which is unfortunate.
I admit that I've had other conventions I've been keeping track of, and this wasn't one of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I what's funny is I track the cons that I have people that I know are going to. So if Rivka is talking about a con that they're dealing at, I get an idea of the con. If you are dealing at a con, I get an idea. If it's somebody I know at a convention, I can see their comments about the event and I can get a thing. But I don't think anybody I know is there.
Yeah.
So it was a bit off the radar.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, it's a part of the country I only know a couple people up there, mm-hmm. and they didn't have fun. So,
yeah. Hmm. Now for a question about toys. My partner and I both want a Fieldo or a Cher, but I do have some questions before I buy a $100 sex toy. I know I'll be fine with the toy and enjoy it very much, but I'm concerned that it won't provide enough stimulation for my partner. I know the bulb part of the inserts is by much more just for holding onto the toy than for stimulation. And I'm wondering if anyone with knowledge or experience with such a toy, cough, Shiva, and Avery, cough, could provide me with some more information.
Well, let me edumacate you. I own a Cher. I haven't tried a Fieldo, but I own a Cher. It is fun. That being said, I very much enjoy using it on my partner. He very much enjoys me using it on him. But it's very exciting, but I don't think I'll ever get off doing it. Does it feel really good? Yes. Do I enjoy having it in me? Yes. Will I keep using it happily? Oh, God, yes. But sometimes if you're doing almost like a motion, like you're jerking off, I have gotten off that way about it. But as far as using it on him intimately, not likely to get out the gate that way. I will say, after using the Cher, I can hold it in. It's difficult. And the Fieldo is kind of like a rigid L. It's got, it's L-shaped. the Fieldo, the kind of the join where it kind of goes from the bulb down into the shaft, they call that the saddle. It's all silicone, so it flexes at that point a lot. So it will droop. I would recommend you're probably going to need to have really strong muscles or probably get a harness. Yeah. A harness is next on our high on our to get list.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't require you to clench.
Yeah, you can kind of, half the times I have the bulb up inside me and I have to keep my legs really tight together. And half the hot times I end up kind of wearing a pair of underwear anyways, just to make sure that things don't go boop. And they're flying across the room.
or you accidentally leave it in. Oh no, it's, you have this really weird tail thing going on now.
So with a harness, I think I'd be able to take a more natural stance because when you have to have, well, next time you're topping your partner doggy style or something, try standing with the legs really tight together and you can't take them apart and you'll find it's really tiring.
I think it'd be also easy to just tip over if you're not careful. You're like,
that's the other thing is tipping over. So with a harness, being able to spread your legs a little bit and get a more natural stance when you're not likely to fall one way or another would be a lot more. That being said, with it in and like you're on your back, it looks, the visual on it is really kind of hot. It looks like I've got a big black cock.
Nice.
No balls, but you know.
So like a chicat.
Like a chicat. The Fieldo, from what I understand, read up, there's a couple of reviews online when Fieldos are more slick. They're a smooth, very slick material. They're also a lot more rigid. The Cher is a soft matte silicone. It's got a lot more kind of give to the material, but it's also matte, so you need to use a lot of lube and be willing to reapply liberally because otherwise that matte can rub. Mm. So just use a really good quality lube with it. Like I said, haven't used Fieldos. They sound neat, but they can also, because they're more rigid, be a little bit less forgiving anally. There's big reviews on them both, and just from overall, at least from reading, for pegging males, they tend to recommend the Cher, just because it is less rigid, so it's a little bit more, you're not likely to bump something you shouldn't. But I also heard some like the slickness of it as well. So there's both. I'm biased because I've only tried one, but I like it a lot. So.
Sounds good to me.
All right, and lastly, as a male-to-female person, I, of course, want to pass as a normal female, their phrasing. But all the advice I receive is going to be directed towards wanting to look good in a dress or how to use prettifying makeup so I can identify as a tomboy. Prettifying makeup. But I kind of identify as a tomboy. Let me rephrase that. If that makes sense. What I mean is I like pants and t-shirts far more than skirts or blouses, but I can't find any guidance on how to dress with these clothes or the style. I suppose it's fairly close to how anyone dresses in these clothes, but I don't want to pass as an effeminate-looking guy. I want to pass it as a girl. Any advice that you could share? Hopefully yours, Kara.
I actually read a really couple really good articles on this recently about trans women who basically they got shit from others in the trans community because they weren't going kind of the ultra femmy, as in they wanted to be tomboys. Some of them just look like a goth tomboy.
Which is really kind of sexist when you think about it. There's only one kind of woman and it's balls to the wall, as feminine as fucking possible.
Which is a weird way to phrase it.
Right.
And I had that discussion I had a friend who went from one to another, and when she first started going through it, wanted to go, you know, very much makeup, was looking at magazines, it's like, and I kind of looked at her, it's like, but, you know, that's a very much fashion plate magazine of what they portray women to be. I mean, you're kind of buying into a stereotype that, on the other hand, I hear people in the trans community fighting against the stereotypes, as in X doesn't mean Y, and so I always get really confused about that. And then you have the turnaround where if you want to pass as a tomboy girl, you know, people have gotten shit for it. It's like, why isn't it okay for me to be a tomboy instead of an ultra, you know, femmy skirt and makeup and pantyhose? Why don't I just want to dress in a shirt and jeans and t-shirt and, you know, be a tomboy?
Yeah.
As far as passing, to be fair, and you're probably not going to like to answer this, most tomboys just dress in normal, you know, t-shirts and jeans. Maybe get some form shapers, you know, some breast forms. There's also padding for hips. You can use also a little bit of, like a girdle to give yourself a little bit of more of an hourglass shape.
It's a good idea.
It's partially, you can also use makeup not in a way that's where you pile it on, as in you're putting on eyeshadow that's blue and big bright lipstick. You can actually use almost this form of stage makeup. And you might want to reference our
drag
episodes, but it's not so much that you are putting on makeup to make yourself look like a fashion plate model. I mean, you're just applying a little bit of something to change, like, the shape of your cheekbones so they're a little bit rounder, or a little, reduce your any stubble you might have, then hide that. It's to basically, usually female features are a little bit softer, not always. So it may be to help change your skin tone, because women tend to have a slightly different skin tone, hide stubble, soften the face, make it a little bit rounder. So it's not like you're trying to become fashion plate. You're just trying to soften the edges and give the impression that you want to be. And it's not so much, I know I keep repeating it myself, I just don't want to advise you to put on makeup to look traditionally pretty. It's to put on makeup to give more of the impression what you're
to soften the male features.
Yeah, especially if you haven't, if you're just starting on hormones and they haven't super kicked in yet, this will help blend when you start going more down that path. You'll help kind of ease your way into your new features.
Yeah, because that's there's a couple of surgeries too that can help once you get further down the path to that. One of them
There's the ones that add a little bit more volume to the lips.
Oh, God. There was one that just sounds horrifying that a friend of mine I used to know, who's now just completely vanished, had a tracheal shave.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds fucking...
It raises the voice.
I didn't know it raised the voice, but I know...
Oh, to get rid of the Adam's apple.
In her case, it shaved down the Adam's apple so that you don't have that obvious male protrusion in the throat. Yeah.
You can't see my face, but it's contorted in horror right now.
It's a horrifying surgery name, isn't it? Just the thought of it just hurts, but... almost as much as the whole getting my dick chopped off kind of, but... Well, it does not sound like a pleasant surgery, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
But that is an option. If you have a protruding Adam's apple, then that's definitely something you might want to look into. The other one she was looking into was, I think it was something to do with the forehead, because men have a heavier eyebrow ridge.
Oh, the brow bone. I think that they backfill kind of the brow ridge a little bit with some collagen. Uh-huh. Helps smooth out that ridge, so it's a little bit smoother.
Yeah. And like you said, there's the lips, there's some chin things you can do
reduce
as well.
Yeah, to smooth and narrow the chin.
Yeah.
But it also depends on how much money you have, and that's why it's if you don't have a ton of money, sometimes what affects to basically stage makeup,
mm-hmm.
where the effect is not to look... fashion plate. It's just to look slightly more femme.
And the nice thing about getting good at using the makeup is you can experiment with having the look that you want before having to actually get any permanent surgery done.
There is that.
And you can kind of figure out what kind of woman you want to look like, I guess,
mm-hmm.
before doing anything permanent.
Yes.
But, yeah, so there's some ideas there. Definitely listen to Keo and Avery vamping about the drag makeup. Because there's a lot more than just the drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
He gives some good advice on just trying to look more feminine as well.
Yes. And there's also lots and lots of YouTubes, especially for the trans community, giving tips. And yep. I've actually seen there's a couple of folks that posted... like 2 years transformation videos from before they started their first course of hormones,
mm-hmm.
all the way up through final surgery. There's a couple of female to male where you watch them basically, you go through everything from where you start seeing over the weeks where like the face changes shape. And it's
amazing how much hormones actually affect.
Uh-huh. You know? And there was one where it's basically start of the video looks like a pretty classic girl. And by the end, it looks like any other young man you'd see on the street. I mean, it goes complete with the chest surgery, so the breasts. Mm-hmm. And it just looks like, and from so does a bunch of videos with top off. And except for some slight scarring, it looks like any other young man going down the street. And I was really impressed.
Huh. So, a friend of mine, this is kind of funny, had come out as trans to her parents in high school. So, parents have one of those school photograph things where, like, there's the... Okay, they're looking at something weird on the touchpad.
I'll explain once you finish your anecdote.
There's, like, the first 11 pictures are small, and then, like, the senior year picture is the larger picture, so it's kind of like your child's progression as they age. So there's, like, from grades 5 through 11, it's boy, 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 da 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 da. Senior year, girl. They were totally supportive of it, but it's just amusing to look at the picture, because it's all of a sudden... we have a daughter.
I'm really happy when there's teens and such that manage to convince their parents and manage to go down this route while they're still young and before their body finishes. Because you don't finish growing and changing until probably about 24, 25. So you're still going through hormones and all this other stuff. Puberty kind of peaks around 17, 18.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen teens where they've started the transition early on before their original set of hormones are in full swing.
Mm.
And just it's amazing how completely the other set of hormones take over. And it's seamless and it's beautiful. I mean, it's just amazing when they can get it started early on.
Mm.
how well the complete transformation is.
That makes sense. And then you can have your later evolution and your additional tails come in.
Oh, God. Grow your ears.
Yeah. So is that the end of the email, Saverin, or is there salutation?
Yes, that is the
closing.
The end of it. I'm the reason I went. I showed Shiva this and she made a face and I made a face too. Is it's the PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
It on the heading. This is an image. I'm trying to verify if it's real or not. Keyboard and mouse support. Building on the success of PlayStation 3 games that shipped with keyboard and mouse support, PS4 games will support keyboard and mouse input natively. For that extra edge, check out the official PlayStation 4 keyboard and mouse combo and become part of the master race.
And I'm like, isn't that a computer? That's a computer.
It's glorious PC master race, but it's one of those...
Okay, so that's a term.
That's the term that was used. Uh-huh. And I'm like, master race?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
really said that?
Yeah, cannot possibly be a real... ad.
Yeah, that's why I'm looking at PlayStation.com.
Oh, PlayStation 4, very popular in Germany.
Yeah, I don't... It's...
So I guess one of us has to read an email.
There's
while
the last
Googling.
Email. There's one more email, and it's just real simple. How to do help. I talk to people?
How do?
How do? I think it's yours.
Is it my turn? Okay. All right. Oops, let me open the mail program. Whoa, let's take a second to load. Was it the Please Keep Me Anonymous help?
Yeah, it was help anonymous.
Okay. I saw that this was an open topic week and thought I would seek out some advice on how to deal with loneliness and anxiety. There are plenty of furs in my area, and I have hung out and talked with a few of them on a regular basis. But when I asked them if they would... just want to hang out, it seems like they are too busy with work or family stuff. I know people have lives and all, but it seems to be a constant thing. Excuse me. There are fur meets, but I find it hard to really connect with anyone with all the excitement of the meets. Not to mention, I get uber stressed out in crowds. Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Okay.
So, there you go.
How talk to people.
I think I'll borrow something from Sarah here, actually. He mentioned this as somehow how he got out of his social anxiety. Mm-hmm. He actually took several classes as a kid that involved public speaking.
It
was basically, I'm trying to remember the name of the class, but it involved, he was like the only kid in the cat class. Most of the other in this program were adults.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of accelerated his way through all these different programs. And basically the point was to teach you how to talk to others, how to talk, how to communicate. The classes were tailored towards more business. So learning how to talk to strangers and everything else like this and how to connect with people. But he picked up a lot of basically how to just talk to people anywhere for any reason from this class. So there are various self-help groups for how do I talk. Mm-hmm. And he found this to actually be to really teach him some of the visual cues, what people are looking for, that, you know, when somebody's standing like this, they're defensive. And he found it a good way to open up and learn how to talk to people.
Hmm.
So.
Yep. That really helps. But it's also just a matter of having to step past your boundaries and, you know, really,
mm-hmm.
you know, put yourself in basically what's an uncomfortable situation to get past that.
Yeah.
Why don't you find something from Adam and Eve, one of y'all?
Oh, sure.
I got told last week if my decision was bad.
What was yours last week?
It was a veiny crystal dong. And Avery was like, I hate those guys. So he chose something else.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah, because you guys did the other thing. Okay, I thought that.
We're not allowed to be right all the time.
No, but it was an item that Adam and Eve sold. It was a high-dollar toy, but he said it was really good.
Mm-hmm. He just wasn't fond of that company overall.
If you're gonna buy something to stick in you, don't cheap out, you know?
Yeah.
You'll usually regret it. It's like, oh, that wasn't as much fun as
it was. Only filled with lead dust and asbestos.
My vagina won't catch fire. You really don't want to stick it in and break it off.
Yeah.
It's not positive. Okay, so I've found a Vaculok toy here that looks a little bit like a lion cock. So I was like, hey, furries might like this.
They like animal dicks.
Yeah.
Here's the picture.
So. Oh, I was just going to show them. Cool. Thank you.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
It's important to point, like a lion dick.
So this is a Vaculok 7-inch pink prober. Now, what's important to note about this is that it is an accessory for the deluxe strap-on harness. So you should pick up a harness if you don't have one already. But the harness is $25. And you can attach a variety of different types of toys to it. And this one in particular is pink, looks vaguely leonine, has a narrow tip for easy penetration, and I'll read the other bullets here. Angled tip for G-spot or prostate stimulation, shaft gradually grows larger to fill your lever up, flexible enough to fit your body's natural curves. Attaches to any Vaculok harness or handle, and measures 1.5 inch wide, as wide as point, 7 inches long.
Hmm.
Made from durable and healthy PVC. So it is only $21.95. Of course, like I said, the harness itself is only $24.95. If you use our coupon, not.
Okay. You get a harness and dildo for $35 or so.
We were supposed to spell it.
Yes, spell it, Sheba.
K-N-O-T.
Yay. Yep. And, you know, you get your free shipping and your free stuff on there. This will allow you to, all you ladies out there, to plug your lover good, whether male or female.
What's really funny is the Vaculok, I believe we talked about an item like this another week ago. It looked like the brass knucks.
Knuckle dildo. Yes. So, because these are also compatible with handles in addition to harnesses, it said. And the one that we had as a handle was shaped like brass knucks. I think that was actually from...
Yeah. So you can work it with your fist as opposed to turning your wrist and working
it.
Punch that vagina or asshole.
Yeah.
So...
Hold still, I'm gonna... What was the expression for punching your chocolate starfish?
Yeah.
Something punching it? Tongue punching your dirt star. That was the description of rimming that somebody shared with me.
Thanks. So, that's it for this week. Do we have an idea of what we do next week? Is there any cons in between now and then?
Well, there was conventions this past weekend...
Yeah, there was Acon and what else?
There was Confuzzled out in England, which Kyle and Alex and a bunch of other folks were at. So that looked like it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of pictures posted online from it. Mm-hmm. And there was also... what was the other... Califer. Fuck. I know I'm going to feel like a moron. It's a pretty well-known United States convention. What is it? It's Califer. It's only been running for 10 years. And
That's it.
I completely brain farted it. Yes.
10 years? Those noobs.
Califer in the SoCal area also this past weekend.
Okay.
They're in Southern California. FC's in NorCal. Mm-hmm. So...
It's like basically two different states.
It practically is at that point. They're like 8 hours apart or something crazy like that. So.
Yep. And driving between NorCal and SoCal's major population centers is kind of shit.
Yeah, probably.
Because Kentucky in between.
Unless you do it along the coast, I've heard that's actually very pretty. There is
Highway 1.
An Amtrak train line that actually goes up the West Coast, which I'd like to do sometime. So you could go from, like, Southern California all the way up to Washington State, Seattle area, along train line along the western coast of the continent. That'd be kind of pretty. On a side note, the other thing like that that I really want to do, there is a transcontinental railway that runs along the U.S.-Canadian border.
All the way across?
East to west, all the way across. Hmm. And at some point, you have to bring your passport because at some point you're in the U.S., at some point you're in Canada. And it's just, you know, up there and it's snowing, I'm sure, and it's mountains, just probably very pretty landscapes and everything, you know.
That sounds pretty.
It would be a nice vacation getaway to do.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to do one day when I'm not going to cons 10 times a year, you know. But yeah, so if you're at Califer or Confuzzled or Acon, I guess. I'm sure anything. There's a lot of furries there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then, right into the show with your con reports. And if you want to get in some late con reports for Furlandia, Biggest Little FurCon, Elliot Spring Gathering, Condition, I believe, was the other Canadian con that happened recently. Or was it Vancouver? I get the Canadian ones mixed up.
And there's Fur A.
Yeah, it might have been Fur A, actually. Yeah. I'm always looking for
with your puns.
I'm always looking for con reports. Yeah. Other than that, I don't think we have a particular topic.
Okay, we'll think of something and post it. I'll make sure that this episode goes up tomorrow because I want to get us back on a regular schedule.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to this bizarro whenever I get arsed to do it.
I was just gonna say that whenever you can be arsed to do it.
Well, now that I've taken over the uploading it myself.
You're like, I'm taking matters into my own hands.
But in doubt, do it yourself.
Grab your junk and just say, throw it on the iMac. Just, oh.
And it knows just what
manly.
You mean like, repeat this?
Yes. Just, anyway. I'm going to rub it on my computer screen.
Because that works totally well.
That's right, yeah. Well, with an iPad, it's a touch capacitive screen, so you could operate it with your penis.
Have you tried? Does it work?
Well, just let me whip it out, you know.
I bet it works.
So,
on it's that like another note, finger.
Talking about Severin's penis.
That was like that one Penny Arcade comment where people talking about how PictoChat could allow pedophiles to contact your children, and like kids are in PictoChat going down the road, and someone else communicates with them, and they're like. He has one hand on the steering wheel, one hand on the shifter. What is he using to
no!
His penis.
See, I'm just waiting for someone to do that at a con now when they're, like, signing their Square receipt. And they're like, I'll sign it. And then I'm like, great, now my phone has your penis grease on it.
Mushroom stamp. No. They take it, they roll it in the ink pad, they roll it on it, and that's my signature.
Have a friend that takes the touch capacitive stylus and draws a picture of a little penis instead of signing his name. And then it gets emailed to him, and it's like it emails a copy of the signature from Square, and it's like, this little drawing of a penis.
Alright, well, on that note.
Good night.
And big balls.
This episode's still like an hour 50.
Good. We need a long one. Make up for your slacking.
What do you mean? We had a long one last week. It was an hour and a half.
Yeah, well, it needs to be longer. We need like 4-hour podcasts.
No, we don't.
No, you don't.